Omni Movie uses full-size VHS tapes, plays Hollywood movies all your own.
Retro review. Oh my god. This week we have a guest for a retro review. Now, before I reveal this man
with a retro shirt on too.
Before we bring him on proper, I have to say Mark demanded Assbot have a clip ready for Jeff. The minute that Jeff came on, I've already said his name. Here's what happened. Mark knew Jeff was coming on the show and then said, Assbot, you know what to do. Assbot, here is Jeff. Take it away.
My name is Jeff.
There you go, Mark. That was for you. Welcome our guest.
What the fuck?
One of our favorite people of all time. You know him. You love him. Maybe you love him too much. It's Jeff from The Love of Cinema. He's fucking back. He's back,
and he's
people.
He's not on the phone.
He's not on the phone. He's here in person. He's not on a Hawaiian island adventure.
Right.
He's here. Jeff, yeah. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me back on the show. Thank you so much for roasting me publicly the other week. That was great. it's good to be here in 2024 with you guys.
That's right, man.
It's great to have you back.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a new year on this show without
my name is Jeff.
Without Jeff returning. So we're going to definitely, Assbot is going to be on it
doing?
With the Jeff. Jeff, since we saw you last, and you have not blown up our voicemail line at all.
Fuck.
Since we saw you last, Jeff, will you tell the people, give us a previously on Jeff, what's been happening in Jeff's life, what's been happening over at The Love of Cinema?
And refer yourself in the third person.
And definitely do it in the third person.
Jeff, I actually do have a friend that only sends me clips of, like, Jeff funny things. So there's, like, a Jeopardy clip where it's just, like, Jeff. And it's just, like, Alex Trebek saying Jeff a million fucking times. Anyway, funny. I'm going to go backwards. So last week, we ended up taking a surprise hiatus this week because they don't listen to the... John doesn't listen to the show. So not only did John have a birthday last week, but he also got married, but he also told us he wanted to do the podcast. And we were like, are you sure? Because we can definitely plan on you not being available this week. And he was like, no, we love the movie. I'll tell you what it is later. I almost said it right now, but I'll tell you in the... you got to be a patron to hear what we're going to be talking about.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
So Dave and I watched this movie, and then John, he was like, oh, we're not going to be on. And Dave and like, fuck, we'll just whatever, we'll do it next week. So we're not on the podcast this week. We've been doing random year generator, which, believe it or not, it works for us, you know. And then we've been doing like mini reviews, so like little spoiler free 5-minute things.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a little Oscar-y of late. Of course, I know you love the you know, we don't have to talk about it.
We had to have later, Jeff on when the I knew this morning I saw the Oscar noms came out and I was like, god damn it, Jeff.
Well, the only thing I'll say though is both of us, The Holdovers is possibly, you know, our favorite movie, if not.
Hey, so, do we have something in common, dude?
We love the Holdovers. Might be my favorite movie that I've seen.
I think it's
so
my
far
favorite movie
from
of the
last
year, too. Yeah,
fucking and Paul Giamatti, sure. And of course Davon. Anyway, so we've been doing a lot of random year generator and a lot of mini reviews, and it's been working for us. We've been having a good time. A couple of little blips and hiatuses, aka I went away for 2.5 weeks and didn't tell him when I was coming back.
And let's fucking say quickly, he'll never listen to this show, but his brother does. Let's say happy belated birthday to John.
Yeah, happy birthday. And congratulations.
Congratulations. That's right.
Mark, Assbot, do you have something for marriage?
Hand shark!
He'll give you a hand shark for your marriage. John... There you go, buddy. Congratulations.
So that's it. We did The Apartment recently as like a, you know, a review of
The Apartment.
Movie.
Was that, that's the, is that Roman Polanski? No, that's The Tenant.
No, yeah.
The other one.
We did the Tenants, though.
Billy Wilder. It's like a
there
weird
you go.
Comedy, but it's also extremely dark and depressing.
Yes. That's right. And it, surely.
It's a gorgeous movie, yeah. But.
Yeah. Is. Here's a question for Jeff. Is Billy Wilder related to Gene Wilder?
Definitely not, but they're both great.
That's
they're
unfortunate.
Great.
That's unfortunate. I was pretty hyped
about
that.
We've done Bonnie and Clyde. We've done Rear Window. We've done The Conformist. We did a weird 2019 movie that's already escaping me, but we had like I don't know. We're all over the place with these movies, but yeah, we made some good choices. And next week was 1999.
Oh,
which is a fantastic year. And we really
that's like great year for
that's
film.
Like one of the best years for movies ever.
Ronan, The Matrix.
Guys, it's gonna be great.
I'm hoping that they reveal that the love of cinema, that people show up and they're like, it's gonna be Fight Club. It's gonna be The Matrix. Like, it's Could Office be. Space. Fuck you.
Could be. And yeah, there you go. Fucking great year. So that's us at the Love of Cinema.
So there you go, Jeff. That's the previously on Jeff for everybody.
That's right.
I am Jeff.
And Jeff has let you know that he's got a random year generator thing going on. So let's do some housekeeping. I've been trying to change up the housekeeping clip, so we're not going to overdo it with Tommy Boy this year. Last week we did Hakuma Shente. This week, Assbot, what do you got for us?
Dodson. Dodson, we've got Dodson here. Who cares? Nice hat.
Nice hat. There we go. Assbot, thank you for that. Hey, quick bit of house clean. Catch us on the Patreon, patreon.com/TheMattAndMarkMovieShow. The link is in the show notes. For as little as a dollar, you can help support this pod, keep the fucking lights on, keep Assbot fed, and you get access to a ton of extra video content, including an exclusive video podcast with 41 episodes and only growing. You basically get a weekly bit of that. For as little as a buck, you can go and binge them all. Binge and purge. Go have fun. Patreon.com/TheMattAndMarkMovieShow. Tell your friends.
You get voicemail, some stickers, too.
Get some stickers. Jeff is a patron. Thank you, Jeff.
I do, yeah. Actually, in the Patreon, I'm thinking I'm going to go get my stickers because I still have some of them. So I'll
get them for the patron. Get some stickers. Voicemail that Jeff doesn't call anymore is 707-948-6707. And Mark,
I still have the number.
Can we? Yeah, right. Jeff has
he deleted it.
It's in his phone as do not.
It is. It's spam likely.
It says spam central. Mark, can we talk about February? Is that okay to do on air?
Yeah. Let's do
So I did want to include this in house cleaning. Mark is going away. We're not going to reveal where he's going because that's private. That sounds bad. Like you're going somewhere bad. He's going.
It's like, is he going to Epstein's Island?
He's not going to Epstein's Island. Mark is going on vacation.
Dennis.
And he's going to be gone for basically all of February. So in February, we're still going to be running. I'm going to have some guest stars lined up. We're going to have a few random guest shows. And one of those is going to be, and I'm going to reveal that now, Mark will be there in spirit because we are recording our first ever film commentary, and that is going to go out in February to everybody. Mark and I are going to be doing a commentary for Willow, one of our favorite movies, maybe Ron Howard's best movie.
I voted for Willow. How are you going to do it? Are you going to run the film live, or is it going to be one of those things where it's like push play when the movie starts?
Yeah, we're going to push play it because we don't want to get in trouble.
Ron Howard sued you, even though you're the only one who's watching his movies.
Dude, could you imagine if you love Ron Howard and then he gets mad at you? What's that like?
Well, it's like when Disney would, like, you know, see some less all these, like, kids.
Yeah. Warwick Davis sends you a picture, and you're like, I can't believe he sent me a dick pic. And you're like, that's his arm. Sorry.
I want to buzz you so bad.
So we're going to have a commentary, and that's going to be going out in February for a fun little, I don't know when exactly, but patrons, here is why you want to be a patron. That's going to go out, like, the second we record it. So if you're a patron, you're going to get super early access to the Willow commentary. Everybody else will catch it a couple weeks later. That's it. That's all the shit I've got this week. What are we fucking talking about? We're talking about Pandorum. Mark, can you believe Pandorum is 15 years old?
That's fucking crazy.
I was like, at first I was like, well, because, you know, we're kind of doing 15? A secret, not so secret sci-fi month this month. And they all wound up being Mark's favorite movies. So this is kind of Mark's month. Then Mark's going to disappear for a month. People are going to think I murdered you. Like they're doing all this for you, and then you
Mark's
left.
Going to watch The Creator for an entire month after the sci-fi.
Mark's going to greet The Creator personally. No, this is Pandorum. And when I was looking it up, I was like, huh, is that retro enough for a, quote, retro review? It's 15 fucking years old. So yes.
Wow. That's insane.
My favorite bit of this last week when we were deciding on Pandorum, I texted Mark and I said, Mark, do you remember that you and I saw this movie together in the theater when it came out? And he had no recollection of that at all.
Which theater did we see this in?
Blocked it from his mind. AMC 42nd. The shitty one.
No wonder it's 42nd Street, of course. That place sucks.
Dave from Love of Cinema's favorite theater.
Favorite place. He just one time showed up and he just saw like the MS-DOS style, like Neo in the Matrix on the screen. Like, yeah.
Dave was just greeted by a tumbleweed with an AIDS needle.
It's actually an AIDS needle under every seat.
Yeah, that's your giveaway. It's like Oprah. You get
one. Sit down. You're like, whoa.
I've been to that theater so many times when an unhoused person has come in and just stank out the whole theater.
That's how it is, man. It's like 4D. Like
the cargo pants full of change shuffling through the theater.
Oh my God.
And then like a minute later, you just get hit with this like tremendous smell. That has happened so many times in that theater to me that I don't go back there.
Maybe anymore. That's what it is. It's like when people get like gas, when the gas main breaks and then they don't remember things. They have no recollection. The smell was so bad. Mark lost all memory of us seeing this
movie. I remember
that
smell for like a fucking week.
Yeah, the smell stay.
That stay.
Smells stay forever.
Event Horizon, on the other hand, I completely forgot that I had seen that too.
So there you go. Pandorum, 2009, 15 years ago. My question for Jeff, before we get into this, is, Jeff, had you ever seen Pandorum prior to this podcast?
I never had. This year was a weird year for me in movies. I mean, this is the year I graduated college, not to age myself too much here. Mm. But no, I mean, I remember seeing a lot of things in theater. I very vividly remember District 9, obviously Avatar, Half-Blood Prince. I actually saw 2012, Love a Good Disaster movie. Up,
yeah,
one of the most Up is one of the most emotional experience, you know. But for some reason, The Hangover in theaters, but I just don't remember. I don't even know when it came out. Honestly, it was a total blip.
15 years ago.
I'm at that age where those 2009 movies you just rattled off, like Up and The Hangover, that all seems like it just happened to me.
Yeah, Up, I felt as though that was like a contemporary film. Like,
yes,
shit, that's 100% years too.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah. Like, because I remember, not to be this guy, when I went to Disneyland recently, I saw the Up characters in the park, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. It's such a new movie. They would have these characters, like, the suit's already made, and they're walking around, and somebody was like, are you fucking joking, bro? Those characters are, like, 20 years old. Oh, my God, you're right. So there you go, Pandorum, 2009. You know we're big space horror fans on this show. It's a very...
yeah.
It's one of my favorite subgenres, one of Mark's favorites, and we don't have a lot of space horror movies. There's not enough. And I feel like just like werewolf movies, we've talked about this on the show, there isn't enough werewolf movies. You think there are, but if you really sit and you try to count the werewolf movies, you're going to realize you're going to run out of them. Space horror is even less.
Shitty ones don't count because there's a ton of shitty ones.
Yeah, and they're still making shitty ones. That ISS movie just came out and nobody cared.
Nope.
And what was that? Cloverfield,
it looked great.
Paradox?
I kind of wanted to see it though, to be honest.
It looked good. The shots look clean. It looked good.
Yeah, it just kind of died on the vine.
Is it considered like a shit movie though, or is it just?
I think it's just one of those middle of the road. People are just waiting for streaming. They want it to come to Netflix so they can watch it.
And I don't think it has any big names in it either, so you can't be like, I'm going to go see. You know how most people like seeing some named actor? I think
Night Swim, which was considered a colossal bomb, did better than ISS did in its first week of release.
I don't know if you call it horror, but Mark was on our show to discuss Ad Astra, which is maybe like a psychological horror, you know, kind of film. So I would call that one.
Yeah, that verges into space horror territory a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But we're going to count it because it's a good movie.
Of dread.
Yeah, and the subgenre needs it because there's only like four space horror movies, right?
That was the Brad Pitt.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's Sunshine, Event Horizon, this movie, Pandorum. I would maybe count, it's not good, but I would count Cloverfield Paradox just because people seem to know that one.
I have not seen that one.
Jason X.
Oh, an all-timer. By the way, and one of the best Love of Cinema episodes. Maybe the best Love of Cinema episode ever recorded.
We are so intoxicated. We are so gone. It's 2 hours into a drinking podcast when we start.
That's what you need to do. You need to get John back from his honeymoon and be like, all right, John, like lure him in with like, John, we're going to watch this Godard movie or whatever he wants to watch. And then when you get him in there, you make him rewatch Jason X.
I think when John finishes grad school, we should all get together and just drink And we should just be drunker for our episodes. We need to figure out a time where we just like have drunk episode after one after the other.
I think so, dude. You guys should just do just start drinking at 10 a.m.
That tequila shot at the beginning though, that fucks you up. Well, at least it fucks me up. Yeah, sure. Jeez.
I should mention, by the way, in spirit of Love of Cinema, I am drinking. This is not water. This is a vodka soda. Very classy.
Oh
wow.
Yeah.
I thought you had ice water.
You thought I had ice water? No, ice water goes here in my old man cup.
What an old man.
So, all right, let's kick off this discussion. 2009, Pandorum, directed by Christian Alvart, who I've never heard of in
same
besides this. And starring Dennis Quaid, who we'll get to in a moment. And I gotta drop this, dude, because this guy does not, in my opinion, he does not get enough respect. I'm not, and I'm being sincere. Ben Foster is fucking awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's in so many things that are great that I've never watched.
Dude, anytime I see this guy, I'm like, this guy's gonna fucking chew this scenery and it's gonna be amazing. I already know when I see him. Jeff, are you
that died there on the vine for a second?
I didn't know if there was a question coming.
There's no question.
Do you love Ben Foster?
Do you love Ben Foster? We've got him here in the studio. But,
he's one of those guys. First of all, he kind of looks like Scott Kahn, so it's deceiving because I'm waiting for it to be a joke. But he really is such a badass. I mean, I love Hell or High Water. I love 310 to Yuma. So I guess that's like his Western, like cornering the market.
Hostel,
there.
So good in 310. As well.
Yeah. Leave No Trace. Hostel. I like Leave No Trace. I mean, and he plays like an older character, right? Like a dad in Leave No Trace, which is cool. Yeah. Thomas and Mackenzie, people, come on, shout out. I remember seeing that in theaters. I don't know why the fuck I didn't see Pandorum in theaters. But he's one of those guys that you know is going to. He's a grounded actor, so it's not like, he's not like a Jason Statham, who I'm not saying is not grounded, but it's like, it's always that fine line between
how
like.
How dare you say Jason Statham is a
grounded. I'm just saying.
One of our most grounded actors ever.
All right.
Isn't he
up.
Like a beekeeper that kills people?
Dude, he loves the bees. He's protecting nature. If that's not grounded, I don't know what is.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's just put that. I'm just saying, I'm not at a theme park when I'm watching Ben Foster. It's usually low key. It's usually indie, and he's always dropped in. He always wants it to be gritty. I feel like he always wants some grit. I don't know what he would be like in a suit.
Although he was in the Warcraft movie.
I was just about to shout out Warcraft. He's so good at Warcraft as the evil wizard.
He's awesome. The only movies he was in recently are Emancipation and Finist Kind.
Emancipation's the Will Smith movie, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I think it was 2022, but did anyone see him in Medieval? I really liked that.
Liked that one a lot. Yeah. I did not see that one.
It's a super underrated movie, but it's a really good, you know, if you like those throwbacks, like if you like movies like Centurion and shit.
I love Centurion.
You have to see Medieval. It's a dope title. I actually saw it. It was in the theater for like 1 week, and I caught it on the last day, and he's fantastic.
And Michael Caine, right? Michael Caine is all up in that piece?
Michael
Caine.
15th century Czech icon? I mean, come on. That sounds awesome for Ben Foster.
I feel like Jeff would do a good Michael Caine.
It's such a cool story, too.
Mark.
I don't do a good Michael Caine.
That's not bad, actually.
That's not too bad.
That's it. I like the
load of bloody dolls like off. She was only 16. She was only 16.
I talk very loud indeed.
What do we do when we fall? We have to pick ourselves up. Okay. I went a little Sean Connery there. What do we do when we have to pick ourselves up?
You watched the Great Train Robbery.
I did watch the Great Train Robbery, and I can't get Sean Connery out of my head. You guys should do that shit. You're talking about random year generator. When you guys roll 1978, let me fucking tell you, do the Great Train Robbery because it's fucking great. The great is not just in the title, people. It's a promise. It's a fucking promise because it is.
Michael Caine, I'm in. I forgot. He does wear a suit. He wears a suit in Hustle, the Adam Sandler sports movie in 2022. He wears a suit. He's a villainous like guy, but
dude. Speaking of space horror and Adam Sandler, that fucking trailer for
Spaceman looks
really good,
dude.
With that spider creature.
Don't underestimate Adam Sandler. He'll fuck your shit up.
I loved him in Punch Drunk Love. I think he's a great series.
Uncut Gems.
So to
I love
see
Uncut
something
Gems.
Like
Gems.
This is going to be really cool. Actually,
yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it looks pretty cool.
And the other thing is, I didn't laugh at the trailer as it was happening too.
Me either. I saw him and I didn't start laughing. That's like a good judgment for that. I didn't start laughing in your face the minute I saw you.
Wait, doesn't it sound like it could be a comedy too, though?
Yes.
If you just saw the title of it.
Or if you made that elevator pitch to someone and you were like, Adam Sandler's all alone floating in a space shuttle around the Earth, people would be like, what? Is he trying to have an espuma party up there?
Is this going to be the clumps in space?
Is he trying to figure out how to shotgun a beer? Yeah.
Oh no, is he Czech? Does he have an accent? Please tell me he has a Czech accent.
No, he's just a regular guy.
He's a regular happened to be raised.
He's playing, he's playing a Russian scientist.
He's not up there. He's not up there like, oh no, I've been lost in space again.
Well, his name is Jakub Prochaska.
It's
Waterboy in space. All right, let's talk some Pandorum before we go to Mark, because I kind of know where Mark's headed on this one, but it will be interesting to get him.
Shirt, so I'm gonna love it.
I love that you're wearing your Event Horizon shirt. I wanna pick Jeff's brain because it'll be interesting to hear what Mark says 15 years later. But Jeff, having never seen Pandorum,
yeah,
lay it on us. Love of cinema style. You guys pride yourselves reviewing things from the gut. What do you got to say about Pandorum?
Guys, I had so much fun with this movie. It's so good. I wish they got the Avatar budget for this. They clearly wanted it. But I had fun. I'm all about a cat and mouse in space with amnesia. The amnesia does not work. And sometimes I hear it, I'm like, ah, cheap. You know, like Men in Black 2, where Will Smith explains the first movie to Tommy Lee the whole time. Like, what's an easy way to get the gags back? Will Smith says, we used to do this. Ugh, this is the whole movie. The amnesia thing is tricky. They pull it off. And again, right away with Scott Foster, you feel like there's grit. Just that opening, the opening title scroll is great. The population and going crazy. You know, obviously, very simple. And then Ben Foster opening and yelling and screaming in the pod. And then you get the exterior where no one could hear him. I'm in. That's it. I was already in. So even if there's some foolishness here and there, even if there's some silliness, even if the script sometimes teetered into like, this is the spec, maybe somebody can humanize it later and they never got there. I had such a fun time.
Wow. Okay. Mark. Awesome. So clearly you're a fan of this movie. Where do you come out 15 years later? Is this like one you've rewatched a bunch?
I actually, the funny thing is I really haven't, because I had like, you know, there's so many movies to watch and I already knew I liked it and I just never gave it a shot. I mean, I have watched it, but maybe in like, I'd say in the last 5 years, I probably haven't seen it.
Wow.
And it's, I kind of like that though, because I had forgotten a lot of what happened. So it was, a lot of the stuff was very fresh for me. And I agree with Jeff. That opener is so cool. And I love the messaging between Earth and the ship, and it really throws you off for the ending. It's awesome. And I like that. Like when I first, that's the one thing I noticed when I first watched this movie, spoiler alert, it has a kind of a surprise ending. Like I didn't pick up on that at all throughout the movie, especially when they were like opening up the windows and there's like, no stars or anything.
Well, there's actually two twist endings at the end of the movie.
Yeah. But the cool thing is like, it actually even it's okay. So you know how like the Sixth Sense you watch and it's sort of like, at least for me, it's like, okay, I know the ending, the end. Great. Right. I don't need to really watch that movie again. But this one is just like, I knew the ending, but to watch the movie knowing that they're trapped made it even scarier, because you know they have no clue where they are, which is like, and the other thing too is like, maybe it, you said Jeff that it doesn't have that kind of like, what was it, did you say it didn't have like that humanity or like
some scenes I felt like it was like they wrote the spec or they wrote, you know, they wrote like the plot and they were gonna later come in and add some like character and some connection, but they just kind of like set it straight.
I kind of like that it didn't, because for me it was like they're all waking up at different times and like some people have been awake for a super long time, so they're just always in survival mode, so they're not going to have these moments of, they're going to be suspicious of everyone because they're just constantly on edge. So the few survivors that are still around are, you know, they're, like I said, all in survival mode, but anyone new coming into that, they're confused, but also these people are suspicious because who are these people? So it's like a really neat little like device where you're kind of suspicious of everyone. I do like his one buddy. He's kind of like the martial arts expert. That guy's
The Vietnamese guy.
Thing does make me laugh right away, though, is that like the one guy he winds up meeting speaks no English and has kung fu moves.
It's kind of interesting. It's so silly. But from like when you talk about like the sociology of the ship, it's sort of like these people are in the lower areas essentially doing the menial tasks, and I think he was like working in like what, farming or something, like
he's agriculture.
So you can see the tiers, and it's also it's kind of funny. It's like, okay, even like deep into the future, it's like, okay, these people are assigned as like the lowly workers,
right. There's still classes. Have, like,
there's still a class system within the ship,
even in a utopia, right? We still it's push really, the people down to like make the farming and do
to
those
a degree
jobs.
Where like they don't even speak the same language. In you'd figure a big ship that has like all these of humanity in it, essentially, they shouldn't be on the same communication level because you're trying to rebuild society. So it's sort of like, it also shows that it's like we bring all our baggage with us. There's like a lot of shit going on in this movie that I love. So,
Well, fuck, man. I don't know how to follow that up. That was beautifully said. I'll just say two things. One, I forgot that there were two twist endings. I remembered one. The one thing I remembered very clearly from this movie, this is my only second time seeing this movie. I remember the thing that stood out to me the most for whatever reason was the fact that that Dennis Quaid was talking to himself, that he was that guy. And that, for whatever reason, was the thing I remembered. I knew the minute that guy came in through the pipes, I was like, oh, I remember this. And I remembered there being a shot where those two timelines fused to show you, the viewer, oh, shit, they have the same tattoo. They're the same guy, right? And I remember that for whatever reason. I was just, like, so blown away by that moment. I was like, that's really cool. What I completely forgot is even bigger than that is the fact that they're under the water the entire time.
That I had another underwater.
Hey, Matt,
it's
another
so
underwater
big.
Sci-fi movie.
That's true. Yes, we did another underwater movie on accident. I swear, I tried to do a space thing. I swear.
And Pandorum, same year. Mark loves Avatar. I mean, this is meant to be.
It's all coming together. That's right. It was meant to be. And you guys know, I'll just say this. I had a good time with the movie. I definitely think I had a better time the first time we saw it in the theater, because I do think this movie benefits from having the theatrical presentation. This is one of those things where you want to be enveloped by the screen. You want to have booming sound. If you don't have an ideal setup at home, it's not as great, because I think that some of the cinematography, I'm just going to say it, I think is really ugly. And I don't think it's by design. I think they were doing it and trying to kind of outrun their budget, but some of the scenes show. I hate how dark it is sometimes. I'm like, I can't find what's going on.
Can I say, I love that though, because it really, like, that's one of my favorite things. Like, if you have low budget but you need effects and you're making sci-fi, like Pitch Black is such a great example, because it's like the darkness hides a lot of things that could actually be pretty bad in a, in a low budget perspective. So to me, I thought it looked, I love that it was dark. It's sort of like the ship has no power. You're underwater. There's really no light source. And you really feel that because it's so pitch black. You know what, what sucks about it though? Can I say, I'll tell you why you may think it looks ugly. If you have an I don't know if you, do you have an OLED TV?
I have a QLED. I have a QLED.
Okay, so if you had an OLED TV, all those blacks would be completely black. But here,
Mark is shaming me. OLED shaming
me.
No,
I'm going to explain it, because I love this movie, and I have an OLED TV in New York City at my family's house. And I always watch that scene in this movie with the guy who's like, it's the survival of the fittest or the smartest, and he eats people. I fucking love that scene. I'll watch that like every year. The movie looks
just
totally different.
Just that scene.
Yeah, I love that scene. The way that it's shot, the composition starting upside down and the camera rotates, it's fucking beautiful. It's gorgeous. And the way he tells the story is awesome. But also, that scene, like I said, so those tunnels are pitch black. I have just a standard TV out here. It's not OLED. The blacks turn slightly gray, so it does look weird. But like you said, in the theater, if you have the right TV,
it looks
those
fantastic.
Blacks are black, and it looks cool. But I agree with you, Matt. If you're watching it with like,
it looks a little crunchy. TV, like some of the shadow work, it just doesn't look great. Because then you see when they have lights on and they're actually like playing to their visual strengths, you can see how good it looks. And one of my favorite things in this movie, maybe my favorite thing, you guys know I'm a sucker for like barbaric giant creatures. The things in this movie, I don't know what they're called. They look like the things from Doom to me. Remember
or Ghosts of Mars?
Or Ghosts of Mars, but like remember Big the Daddy Doom Mars? Video game? Those like those like waddly guys with shoulder pads? That's what they kind of looked like to me, and I'm saying that in a good way. Like, I saw those things, I forgot they were in this movie, and I was like, holy shit, these guys look great. I'm also a big fan. Nothing works on me quite like, I love this, is when you have a wide shot and you have like a horde of people amassing quickly to chase you. Nothing fucking gets my goat faster than that. I love that. And yeah. This has that in spades.
A lot of it.
Yeah, they're by like the way, running down these hallways and just like these things are tracking them. It's awesome.
That one scene, by the way, when they finally get to like the where they're storing the people and they start coming out.
Oh,
that,
yes.
By the way, that's Ben Foster's. By the way, that one guy that gets eaten is Ben Foster's brother, which I always thought was funny. You can even see it sort of looks like him. But that scene is that shows, by the way, that when they do show stuff, they put a lot into it because that set looks huge. It almost looks like in Event Horizon. You know, they built the engine room essentially with that gyroscope.
Oh, yes.
It had that scale to it, which I loved. And it kind of felt like a throwback to that. That scene is dope, and I agree with you, Matt. Like, just seeing all those things, and I think they adjusted the shutter speed and maybe sped up the film slightly, because when they charge, it's terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
And I think those are the people. I think those are the people that have woken up the earliest. That's my theory. Like,
that's what they said.
Yeah, they adapted to life. Yeah. In the dark.
So they're used to the dark and shit.
Yes, but... and with whatever those vitamins in, they were pumping.
Yeah, because the chemical backfired essentially.
Yeah.
The stuff that was helped because the elements were a little different. I thought they covered that really well.
The elements are
different, and so they're slightly different. So they need to give you essentially these vitamins, but they're probably a little bit more chemically, and therefore that is what is creating like this brain chemistry imbalance that slowly zombifies you rather than a fucking bite turning you into zombie, which is fine. But like, come on.
It's also like lack of sunlight and just complete and utter darkness. Too.
Yes.
It's kind of like the descent, right?
It's like those things in the descent.
That's what I really love about this movie. It's like, I don't think it has the budget or time to really explain or delve into it. But from these little details, you get the feeling that these people have been underwater for a really long fucking time, which to me is crazy.
Yeah, like 500 years or something,
the ship is, too.
Yeah. But you could tell, like, that's the thing is, like, the Christian Albert guy, and I'm not saying it as a knock. It's like he aspires outside of his budget. He's trying to make something look like it's $100 million when it's clearly like, I'm sorry, people, but Dennis Quaid spends most of the movie sitting in the same room in a chair. They clearly shot his part on a weekend, right?
Oh,
until
yeah.
the very ending when they had to have the big moment with the splash. They were like, okay, now Dennis, we have to move Dennis to a separate set. Dennis, we're sorry, you can't sit down today, right? That's what they did. They got a big star. I'm sorry to tell you. It's so clear to me. They got a giant star, and they were like, Dennis, we're going to shoot your shit in 3 days, and you're not going to have to fucking stand up, buddy. And he's like, okay, where do I sign?
But I love that, though, because I'm a huge Ben Foster fan. So to spend more time with Ben Foster to me is much better than just chilling with Dennis Quaid.
It's just wild to me, though, like how much Ben Foster out-acts Dennis Quaid. Like, Dennis Quaid seems like he's trying so hard, and he's yelling, and it feels like... Yeah, it feels like very... Not to be this guy. Dennis Quaid's fucking great. I love Dennis Quaid, all right? I'm not going to go into a whole list of Dennis Quaid movies. I love Dennis Quaid. I'm just saying... Dreamscape rules, by the way. I'm just saying, it's a little crazy to me that he's doing very, like, student film acting where he's yelling everything. And Ben Foster's also yelling a bunch of stuff, but it feels real. Like, when he's in the...
Yeah.
And I don't know if
especially
like
when
the way
he's feeling
directed,
the claustrophobia of those tubes, too.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah!
Or even the little bit, like, before Dennis Quaid gets into his whole thing with his younger self, when he's talking to Ben Foster on the radio, like, when Ben Foster, when the walls start to close in on him, and he's, like, being super... What the fuck is that? What was that?
Yeah.
Did you turn on your windshield wipers? He's actually in a car.
Jeff's in a car wash right now.
Was that me? What did I do?
That was you. Something happened.
It hurt, like, windshield wipers going...
Was it sound or was it... What was it?
No, it was sound.
When
it was
you
like...
leaned in forward.
You know what? I did dust my computer right
there. Oh, that's what just happened. So Jeff is dusting.
I'm turning into John. I'm the John of our podcast now.
Except with cleaning.
He's cleaning.
So, wait, I do think, though, because I thought about this, too, with Dennis Quaid, because there are some scenes where he's just better than other scenes. And so I think that's just, like, a director thing, usually, and especially a director with a big star, where clearly the only reason he got $30 million is because of Dennis Quaid. They might have even been trying to raise more money while they were filming this, for all we know. But the scene...
They totally did.
And I think... Yeah, what's up?
Can I stick up for Dennis Quaid here?
Okay, I'm not saying he was bad. There was just a couple scenes where I was
going to say he was bad. I think he was bad.
Here's my thing.
I'm sorry. He was pushing it for me.
Think about it. Like, he's been in hypersleep. He's coming in and out at different stages, seeing different things. He's losing his fucking mind. So he is a bit like I see a lot of crazy people out in LA. So I know how they act. And I'm thinking this guy is sort of like, he's going crazy. But the thing is, the cool thing about it is where his performance since seems inconsistent is I think he once was a good guy, and he slowly twisted himself by just being trapped in the ship. So you get these flashes and moments where he's actually a sincere good person, because you see as he actually cares about him to navigate him through these things, but he's also a fucking psychopath. And those two, and it's also visually represented between the two people coming together too. I just think he's losing his mind. And his performance is fractured because his mind is fractured. So that's how I went into it when I watched it. And then I also got that from, or that was my thought about it on the first viewing. So I never thought it was just like a bad director. I think he's a good director, because Ben Foster's performance and all the performances of the other actors are like very good. The way they team up.
I just think, like Jeff was saying, it may be hard for him to deal with an A-list star. Maybe he's like, you know what? I got to be hands off with him, and I'm going to let him do whatever he wants so that I have Dennis Quaid in my movie. And unfortunately, the choice that Dennis Quaid made was like super loud.
And I felt like he was saying his lines with feeling more than I thought he was losing his
feeling
lines.
Them. Yeah.
More than he was actually feeling that. Yeah, more than he was actually feeling that.
By the way, for the most part, I love that Mark said the people in LA, it's not the fentanyl crisis people, they have Pandorum. You heard it here first.
They have!
If you find the crazies in LA, they have
Pandorum.
We're
all on a ship.
Also, right now. As fans of The Boys, fantastic series, what a missed opportunity to not have young Jack Quaid play the younger guy, because then it would have been amazing to have them fused together, because the guy they got is Cam Gigande. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And he is not like a young Dennis Quaid at all.
Yeah, it's true.
I wanted more of a lookalike for him. Yeah, and I wish Jack was old enough to do that part.
Who is the guy that plays Anakin? He looks sort
Hayden
of like
Christensen.
That guy. Hayden Christensen looks like his like older brother or something.
Yes. Braden Christensen.
All the names rhyme in the.
All right, so let's talk about this, guys, because it's been a real sausage fest. There is a lady in the movie. There is a leading lady in the movie. What did we think of her? Was she French? I couldn't pick up her accent.
I think she's was German.
It, is she
German? It was like a weird. It was like a weird kind of German, though.
She plays what, Nadia, right? She's like the environmental.
She's a German actress. Yeah, you're right, guys.
I liked her. I thought she was really cool. I didn't want her to die when she got stabbed by that fucking cannibal dude. I was like, no, it's going to be one of those fucking movies.
Apparently, she plays one of the Kryptonians in Man of Steel and The Flash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's got that thing on her head. Yeah.
So that's where I knew her from. Damn. Yeah,
she's a big part of Flash, right?
You do have that thing for faces, Matt. You still get it.
Hey, listen, I can't remember people's names. I can't remember my father-in-law's name, but I can recognize the third guy in Battlestar Galactica any goddamn day of the week. If I see him, I'll know that's who he is. I'm like a facial detective, a little bit. I'm better than Face ID on Apple.
You got me.
It's funny, by the way.
It took me a minute to recognize Norman. Like it took me a minute to recognize Norman Reedus. So you got me beat on.
Dude, okay, listen. When Norman Reedus popped up,
I was like, this guy's familiar.
Yeah, but
dude, I got psyched for a minute, because I was like, fuck yes. Is this going to turn into a Norman Reedus thing where he's here to whoop ass? Like his character in Walking Dead, he's going to find some shit around the ship and he's going to start beating up the cannibals? No.
Almost. Nope.
By the way, this is what I think about his career. Like, during that day and age, he did all his cameos. He's like, you know what? I'm going to be famous later. Let me do all my cameos now. Because he had all these like little weird bit parts in movies, and then all of a sudden he got like huge. But it's funny to see him. Like, remember him in Blade 2? He was in that for a brief moment. it's weird to see him as this like bit actor that just and pops Boondock up and gets Saints. Slaughtered.
I remember Boondock Saints. Yeah, I remember Boondock Saints sure. All Saints Day. And then I was probably like the one person who saw Boondock Saints All Saints Day.
By the way, right. Did you think from Blade 2 that he would be this big now, though?
No, like, that's why the second I saw him, 2024, Matt got excited because he expected Daryl Dixon. And I was like, oh shit, this is going to be awesome. He's going to team up with Ben Foster. It's going to be two badasses tearing shit up.
He was just playing fuck-ups before that, though,
yeah,
right?
He's just total wieners because he shows up and gets killed immediately. I was like, this poor
Or they're fuck. Always smoking weed. He's always playing like stoners or just like fucked up meth heads. Yeah. I love that guy, by the way. He's an awesome actor.
He's a fantastic actor. He's really great.
He killed it in his tiny role.
He has a 5-second role, and it's kind of like, I don't know why he's here, you know?
Because you're supposed to believe he's going to last longer. I love that.
I guess that's what it is. It's like a psych out. Yeah.
You know what's
it's like
the funny thing
when you see Steven Seagal in Executive Decision, you think yeah. On the poster, he's the co-star of this movie.
I thought Ben Foster did a good job of playing against him too, because he was like, "So you don't know anything," and he's like, "That's what I'm. That's what I'm saying to you. Why? That's yes, correct." He's like, "You don't know anything." Yes, yeah, yeah. That's what the fuck is so confusing about this? Really funny.
By the way, the funny thing is, I had a moment like Matt too. I actually expected, because I had forgotten so much of the movie, including even going to the theater and seeing it, that I thought that he was going to survive a bit longer, and I had forgotten yes. That his role was like a blink.
God damn it. I wanted to see him go toe-to-toe with that big guy with the fucking shredder armor and like the bald head. Like that guy, I wanted to see him fucking fight that guy.
Yeah. How are they not just slitting each other's throats all the time with those swords for capes?
Even the little cannibal girl, right? We have the cute little moment with the little cannibal girl, right?
She would have killed her, right?
No armor. Oh, I would have killed her in a second.
No question. Come
no
on.
Question, dude. I'm
no
a Daryl
fucking
fan.
Question.
No question. I would.
She's
not
just a kid. I'll wait a year until she can kill me before I can.
Yeah,
no,
fuck that.
She's close enough. She's not an infant. It's not baby Hitler.
I just woke up.
Fucking teenager.
Yeah, dude. Dennis Quaid's yelling at me. She's a fucking teenager. She's of age.
Dead.
I'll hit her in the head. Dead. Especially too, because she clearly has her hands behind her back. She's gonna do some shit. It's very obvious. And Christian Alvart does not try to hide it. Because the camera lingers for a moment. You're like, well, okay, buddy. I know what's going to happen. I'm giving Christian Alvart a hard time, but he did a fucking good job. He did a good job.
By the way, this
half the budget he should have had for this
movie.
Yes.
Easily could have been like, to me, this movie is far superior to that Chris Pratt movie, Passengers, which is
I
sort
thought the
of,
same
oh,
thing.
Passengers. Similar. I forgot about that.
Passengers was like, let's just wake up. It's like, what if you're up in space and you want to fuck?
Yeah, and you want to be... by the way, that movie... When
That's
that
it.
Moment, when
how
that
many,
moment happened,
how many
didn't
movies
that,
could be improved by that log line?
But couldn't, didn't that
what
like
if dinosaurs were real, but they wanted to fuck?
That movie was like, it went into the creepy territory when it did that, though. I just remember being like, I don't even fucking like this character anymore. He's like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I don't remember that movie that much. I do remember a lot of fucking in it, though. That's a good job. So apparently the budget for Pandorum was $33 million. And
not
you can
bad.
Tell, and I'm saying that both as a positive and a negative, you can tell that they didn't have the budget they should have had for something like this, but Christian Alvart makes the most of his money, especially there are some key scenes he really makes it look fucking good. He makes it look like triple that. So good on him for getting production value out of nothing. $33 million in 2009 money, when we still had mid-budget studio movies, it wasn't just your Marvels and your indies. When you had like mid-budget, when they were still releasing romantic comedies in theaters, and it was $40, $50 million budgets, those were the norm. The fact that he was able to turn in, to me, a $150 million movie for a fifth of that, that's fucking impressive.
By the way, I do miss those movies, those like $20, $30 million.
I do too. They're slowly starting to come back a little bit because that.
The Holdovers hopefully will bring that shit back too.
And also this new one. What's this new romantic comedy everybody's going to see? Anybody but you. Anybody but you.
Okay, is that really the only, that's the biggest thing out right now?
I think it is Mean Girls maybe. Maybe Mean Girls.
Mean Girls, I think, won the
musical?
Box office last week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I ain't going to see that shit. Mean Girls 2004, man. All right. I'm all about the original Mean Girls, the OG Mean Girls. I don't need the new Mean Girls.
I thought you got, wait, so there's a new one? I didn't even
hey,
know
Mark,
that.
Hey, Mark, hashtag not my mean girls. Let me say this. Yes. I don't care that it's a musical. And they cared because they hid that shit in the trailer. Don't tell me the studio didn't care. They fucking hid that shit because they
didn't. It's funny. Yeah, you're right.
Are the songs like dog shit, though?
I don't know. I'll just say the original movie is not a musical, and it's awesome. It's not hate against musicals. I like musicals. I'm just saying the OG Mean Girls exists, and you should probably just see that one. You don't need to see the new one. All right, that's all I wanted to say about that. back to Pandorum.
That's going to be my new segue. By the way, did you guys have like a favorite scene that you liked or were like, oh, or something that you're like,
let's let our guest handle that one. Jeff,
in Pandorum?
Favorite scene, Pandorum or Mean Girls, either one?
My favorite death was there were two really good deaths. I love the hanging one. So Norman Reedus one was pretty damn good, where they drag him up and then they
those traps were terrifying to me. I hate rope traps, and especially if they're made out of like cable wire.
Yeah.
First things first, I think they did suspense really well. So even back to Dennis Quaid, anytime there was something suspenseful, even if he was just on the comms, it was very, very compelling. Always, always, always. It was those moments of stillness where they were like, okay, now we got to write plot or write what we're doing that I was kind of like flat on. So basically anytime they did suspense, but yeah, the chase sequences. I didn't even love the fights, the one-on-ones as much as anytime they're chasing in the hallway. But specifically, okay, when they crawl through the dead guys, and then of course they drop the fucking thing so that makes the noise. But yeah, when they're crawling through the others, that was really suspenseful.
Yeah, that's actually my favorite scene. Just visually, I think it's like some shit out of Clive Barker's nightmares. You have all these disgusting mutants under this layer of fog. He's got to fucking sneak through. He's kind of pulling a Predator, right? Like he's got to cloak himself, so he puts their shit on so he smells like them. Nobody fucking knows what's going on. You got the fucking ninja farmer guy holding the walkway, trying to hold it up. Yeah. Hold it up, guy.
Oh, he does a
got Ben Foster crawling around, and it just looks... That's what I'm talking about, visually. It looks so cool. I love that whole sequence. Then you get up there to the reactor or whatever. Don't look so hot, but that part where he's crawling over the
people, reactor did... This is not the best reactor.
Doesn't look so good. There's a part that I laughed out loud. Okay, so that's a high bar part, right? Here's a low bar part. There was a part where when Ben Foster first finds, or I think it's the first or second time he runs into the girl, he's like trying to get her to back off, and he shoots his pistol, his space pistol in the air, and like chunks of debris fall down, but it's like it was like sheetrock that like fell on him. It was like not enough, and it just looked very cheap.
They make these things out of drywall?
Yeah, they clearly have like they had a PA up there like shaking some shit out of a bucket on top of him, you know? And like that looked bad, but then you hold it up against him crawling over the things, and you're like, Jesus, this looks great.
Yeah.
I think he peppers in enough big budget scenes.
Yes, and those little moments are so good. Like those little fucking, get your fucking heart like, stop. So good. That's when they're super successful. Wait, Mark, what's your favorite scene?
I already told you guys
gave it away.
The cannibal scene. Yeah. But I do love that scene is so suspenseful, though, with the holding of that little bridge and crawling through.
Although at a certain point I was like, and it does happen, I was like, just drop that fucking thing on top of those people. Crush them. And it kind of happens on accident.
Do you think whenever people get cut, whenever they're hanging upside down and then they just cut the rope, do you think they're going to snap their neck?
Yeah,
they always land very gracefully. And I was like, how did they just land on their back?
That's movies have fucked me up. If that happened to any of us in real life, we'd all be dead.
I'm dead.
You would land on your neck. The fucking arteries would be severed.
Yeah, they would cut it. I'd be like, thank you so much. Yeah.
I would be rolling into the show like Stephen Hawking.
Yeah,
exactly.
My head would be in my chest.
Yeah, dude. Because you don't have the ab strength.
Like a Goomba.
You need the ab strength to fold yourself up to fall on your back. No one has that ab strength.
In a split second.
Yes. That's like Rocky and Rocky when he's training and he's lifting his legs. Yeah. That's what you need.
Can you guys, don't you feel as though it's like, at least for me, like sometimes you bend over nowadays and it's like, fuck, it doesn't feel like my back bends anymore.
Yeah, I can't bend down. How am I supposed to
like,
bend
how
up?
How the fuck am I going to bend a split second to save my neck?
Dude, right before Christmas, I threw my back out for 3 days because I sneezed. I fucking sneezed.
Wait, was he sneezed up? Well, wait. Oh, are these like crazy allergies? Because I know you've got nutty allergies like me.
It was not an allergy thing. It was a regular guy sneeze, but it was like a dad sneeze. It was like super hard. And like, I was just in a weird position. I was in my bathroom about to walk out. Jess was in the middle of talking to me. And I was like, hey, let me answer. And then I was like, oh my God. And I could feel my back just like seize.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
do you try to sneeze really loud?
No, I don't try.
Guys try to do that like,
no, because I'm going to sound like a giant pussy, but I don't care. My cat, the podcast cat who we love, he fucking hates sneezes. Like if he hears you do this, if he hears you go, he fucking bolts. So really? I'm like, I try not to make any noise because I'm like, I love him. I'm like, I don't want him to run away. So I've trained myself not to do that. If it comes out, wow, it's an accident. That shit fucked me up for 3 days.
You fucked your back.
Dude, I had to sit with a fucking heated blankie there. I felt like such an old lady because there was one night I was like, I kind of want to watch Murder, She Wrote. I'm sitting there in a recliner with a heated pad.
Murder, She Wrote.
And I was like, you old.
Jessica Fletcher, let's go.
It was either that or Golden Girls, right, I was going to guess.
Let's solve some mysteries in Cabot Cove.
Only two choices.
Matt's
maybe
got a
Maud.
Thick knitted blanket over his legs.
I'm drinking a soup out of a mug.
You only have hot toddies now.
Yep, hot toddies. I'm knitting a little blankie for the kitty. That's nice. That's what I do.
The paws, you make like the little gloves.
Yeah, dude. I make him little fingerless gloves so he looks super cool. Yeah. Anyway, we should tell people, by the way, if you are interested in seeing Pandorum, this movie is on Amazon Prime Video right now. You can just watch it for free if you're a member.
It looks pretty damn good, too.
It looked good, yeah. All the shit on Amazon looks good.
I don't think there's a 4K copy, is there?
No, there's not a 4K of this.
God damn it.
I want to see those Mad Max-style jumps that they do where they were just like, and then they would just do a cut, and then all of a sudden they're just like, the angle is doesn't even make sense. They like attack
the...
That's like,
the best, Jeff.
It just they jump from like three stories higher, and then they the impact after a couple cuts is like straight on. It's great. It's like it's so fun, and they do it so fast that it's like they just went 20 feet in half a second.
Can I have your thoughts on what do you guys think of like horror film characters that are humanoid or human, but they run on all fours? Do you think it looks stupid, or do you think it's scary?
Depends.
I think it looks cool as hell, man. I like it a lot. Because they go feral. That's when I'm like, they're going feral. Yeah. I like it more than when a humanoid character's jaw, like, unhinged.
Oh, the hyperextension?
Hyperextension,
I hate that.
I don't like that either. But I like when they run like animals, because I'm like when Mithrigan just did that in her movie. She gets down on all fours and runs.
Yeah, she does.
Like I like that a lot. Good deal.
Reverse
Mark,
knees,
do
like
you
arrival.
Like that?
I'm a sucker for it, especially those hallway shots and those kind of like side scroller shots where they're just fully charging. It looks so inhuman and strange. It freaks me out.
It looks pretty awesome.
They know how to do it. If I did it, I would look like I'm one of those like union construction workers that won't lift a pail unless I have like, you know, like the health support around me.
I think we've all established that we would fuck our backs up.
Yeah.
So there's
exactly.
What is that? Are you talking about the thing that like every dude wears at Home Depot? You know, you walk into Home Depot and every guy has that same back thing on.
It's like the belt with
but
the
it looks
vest,
like a holster. Yeah. It looks like they're strapped like a cop, but you realize, oh, he's just got a back thing on.
It's basically a bra for men. I think
it's kind
sure,
of
it's
a,
like a corset.
You have to wear
it
on the outside
corset.
So you look like you're doing heavy lifting or some shit.
Dude, I went to Home Depot a couple weeks ago, and I was reminded that happens because there was a guy I was gonna walk up, and I was like, "Fuck, where?" I needed a chip brush, like a pink chip brush, and I was like, "Oh, let me go ask this guy. I don't fucking know where anything is." And I saw him with his shit, and I was like, "Are they strapped? Like, is because you know you see the robberies on the news? I'm like, is fucking Home Depot getting fucking ganked?
It's the
and
wild.
They gotta have an armed guy there? Oh, no, it's just God. For his back." That's it.
the equalizer's not there.
The equalizer isn't there. Yeah. It's the Norman Reedus in Pandorum
there.
Of real world situations. You expect it to be something cool, it's gone in 5 seconds. It's just gone.
And then the next time you're on the show, Matt, you're wearing that for your back.
I'm going to wear that. Yeah, dude. I'm gonna
in case
you're strapped up. So let's quickly, it feels like we're kind of coming to a close on this. Let's talk about the ending, right? We've kind of talked about it. But the thing is, as we mentioned, there are two big twist endings. We've given them both away, but let's talk to both of them, I think. I think I've said my piece. I'll let these fellas take it away. But the two twist endings are that Dennis Quaid is not who he says he is. Surprise. And that we're not in space at all. We've been under the water. Jeff, as a first-time watcher of Pandorum, what did you think of these twist endings? Did they work for you?
They did. I really thought the Dennis Quaid one wasn't when the tattoo thing came along. And because of the dialogue between the... Do you hear that? That's my heater. Oh, my God. It's my heater.
Oh, that's new. The sounds of New York. I forgot
about you need me to turn it off. If you need me to turn it off, but I really wanted to wear a short sleeve shirt for this recording.
Fuck it. It sounds like we're on the Pandorum ship, the Elysium. We're just on the ship.
The two different stories at the same time between the cannibal guy and Dennis Quaid's like alter ego guy, I was like, it's like so close to being cheesy. But honestly, the tattoo thing, it worked. It totally worked for me. It made up for some of the, you know, the Dennis Quaid stuff. The only thing that didn't work for me is that the animal fit, like the fish thing, was like a little like it was like almost animation. Like it just didn't seem very real to me. But I love it. I don't know how they didn't like electrocute themselves with like the pod when they were leaving, and like there's all these like wires everywhere, and it just closed and launched perfectly fine. But I should also say when they launched in the dream where they're like, we evacuated the ship and we launched 5,000 pods, that image is so fucking awesome of just 5,000 pods going up into space. But back to the twist endings, yeah, they totally worked for me, except for the fish looking a little strange, and it took me a second with Dennis Quaid, but I got there.
You made me just think of something really quick with Dennis Quaid. Maybe his acting is bad because he's such a good actor, he's trying to emulate Cam Gigande, who's maybe not a good actor. And he's like, if that guy's going to be me, I got to back my shit off Mr. fucking Enemy Mine, Mr. fucking Dragonheart. Yeah. I got to back my shit way back and act like him. And
it's like, I saw your acting reel. It sucked.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be this fucking guy. Jeff,
it
sounds like there's a restaurant in Jeff's house right now. Jeff's gone from the car restaurant.
He's I am going to turn it off.
Set of the bear.
I just think I think Dennis Quaid didn't make his choices and wanted the director to just tell him what to do.
I'm just going to say yes, chef.
I love the bear.
Yes, chef. Heard, chef. Heard. Heard, chef.
I'm going to... I'll be 2 seconds. You guys talk.
Jeff has dusted and cleaned his house. He's opened a restaurant. What else has Jeff done during this podcast? Jeff has...
I have my pants on. What'd you say?
We said, Jeff, you've cleaned your house during this episode. You visited a car wash. You've opened a restaurant. What else will he do, ladies and gents? Mark, did
my OnlyFans appointment's about to start, so...
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Watch out,
people. He brings us into the room with
him. Yep. Here we go. What's up, fans?
All right, guys, we all have to take our shirts off.
Mark, did the twist endings work for you? Someone who's
seen
the movie.
When I first saw them in the theater, since I forgot about that, I have no clue. But the second time, they worked. They worked just fine. I thought they were, I couldn't predict any of that shit that was happening. And I thought they did a nice enough job of separating Dennis Quaid from Cam Gigante. Is that
Cam Gigante. It would be so much cooler if he pronounced it the Spanish way. He was just in Violent Night. He's one of the he's the action star she's married to the action star, the guy that like is like trying to give his pitch to the mom. I'm gonna can you fund my movie? And then he runs out and they kill him. That's Cam Gigante.
What?
Yep.
Holy shit.
The minute I saw him in Violent Night, I was like, look at that motherfucker, that's Pandorum. There he is.
That's crazy.
I told you I'm the facial detective. That sounds really
also
bad. OnlyFans, it means
only
something
fans
else.
Page.
Yeah. OnlyFans page, facial detective. I can see this is two different types of semen. Definitely two. And I think it was cold outside, if I'm not mistaken. I'm like the Columbo of facials, dude. One more thing. You think I'm about to leave? I fucking turn around to solve the crime. She said she had never done this before. Thanks, I'll show myself out. Okay, so I think that's it for
By the way, I just want to say one last thing.
Oh, sorry, go ahead,
Jeff,
Mark.
Jeff reminded me of that scene when he talks about launching all those people into space with the crazy captain. That shit is just like, it's just a small moment that is extremely terrifying because of like, there's some movies that are have just terrifying concepts that linger with you.
I don't want to be in a pod insane. In space. I don't want to be in a pod in space. I'm not going to go to space because I don't want to be floating around in space. Like, you know, what if I'm stuck out there forever, you know?
And there is a cool visual moment, too, where
you'll die.
When all the pods fly out, there's a moment where there's so many of them in sync, they look like stars. And then you realize, you think later, oh, fuck. Now I know.
Yeah, and that was really poetic of Matt staring into the arm.
One more thing.
Wait, a couple things, though. Did it not launch all the pods? Is it a different ship or is it the same ship?
I think they were talking about another instance where someone had Pandorum and that was the end
result. Oh, yes.
And that was on the Eden. That was on the Eden. This is the Elysium. Okay, got it.
Damn, look at Jeff knowing the fucking ship names.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Damn, Jeff.
Because this is one of those the lines met Dennis Quaid and neither of them worked for me. When he said something like, has this happened before? And he's like, you mean Eden? You had to remind me of the worst disaster in space history. And it was just like, what? I don't think he actually reminded you of that. I think...
That was such a good delivery, Jeff.
Yeah. That was the best Dennis Quaid impersonation.
God damn, that was better than Dennis Quaid, dude.
And I was just like, what a segue. Shit. What a segue. God, Dennis Quaid, you got to circle that and say, they need my help instead.
Dude, Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid. Dude, you should have played the young Dennis Quaid. Shit. Get Cam Higante out of there. Put Jeff in there.
I want to crawl out of that, like, fucking, like, like large intestinal shit that he crawled out of.
They covered him in goop.
That goop they pull off is always
And there's so much of it. Like when Ben Foster initially comes out of the hypersleep, the cryosleep.
That looks like a case for the facial detector.
He's pulling off so many layers. Dude,
and you know the budget. You know that shit was cheap too. You know that, like,
yeah, dude. They kept cutting back. I was like, at a certain point, it almost got comical. I was like, all right, he's done. They've cut back like four times. He has now like a layer on his skin. Like he hadn't just peeled off all the shit. I was like, Jesus Christ, how many fucking things does he have on him? They just kept going back.
Oh my God,
poor Ben Foster. Here you go. We've transitioned to the truck stop. Part of the show. Guys, what are we recommending? Pandorum.
Hell yeah,
there we go. It's a big old recommend from Jeff, a big old recommend from Mark, and it's a big old recommend from me. Go check that shit out. I do want to show you guys something quickly that I think you will appreciate.
Hopefully it's not from the facial
from the facial detective. It should be, though.
These are my log files, my previous cases.
In honor of Jeff, now, maybe we'll put this one on YouTube. I think we will, because Jeff is a big YouTube star over there. I think we'll probably put this up. Go check this out on the YouTube version of our pod. In honor of Jeff's return to our show, one of the most famous images from his many appearances is when he was just like this.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And I just wanted to show you quickly, in honor of your return this week, the producer in the booth decided to mimic...
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Yeah, that's version like of the dead Jeff. On. That is a shout out to the producer in the booth. That is her version of Jeff.
Oh my God, that's good
on the Matt and Mark movie show. So shout out,
Beats. That's so good.
Shout out. I was like, who's on this week? I was like, Jeff. She goes, give me 5 minutes. And she fucking did that so tribute. Good. That was her Jeff tribute.
I believe that was when I was listening to myself on your show because you played my voicemail, which is why I didn't record one this week. I have no excuses for the other weeks, but this week was definitely the best
one for that. That's right. So there you go. That's it for us in Pandorum. We want to thank our guest, our friend of the show, Mr. Love of Cinema, Jeff. Jeff, please tell the people where they can find you and what's going on Love of Cinema.
You can reach out to us on Instagram. We'll respond to you in about 2 to 3 weeks. we're on there. Dave will respond. Love of Cinema Pod. The Love of Cinema Pod. We're all over all the socials. We're the heart with the three dudes' faces on it. Shout us out. I'm sure we'll be in the episode notes here. But yeah, we got a couple good movies coming up. A couple good things. You know, we're gonna keep trucking along.
I like it.
Three dudes' faces. This is a job for the
facial
detective.
One more thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Before I leave, I just want to say one more thing. There it is. That's it for us, people. And thank you from me and Mark and...
My name is Jeff.
And we'll catch you guys next time. It was lovely. We're out of here. Peace.
Peace.